The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Athletic. The Athletic is a subscription-based sports news site delivering in-depth sports coverage for die-hard fans. Featuring NFL reporters on the ground with all 32 teams, plus national writers you know and love like Jay Glazer, Mike Sando, and Michael Lombardi. The Athletic is telling stories you won't find anywhere else. No ads, no clickbait, just great sports writing. Join today for the inside story on your team. For 40% off your annual subscription to the best sports writing around, go to theathletic.com/believe. That's theathletic.com/believe.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
2020. There he is. The Puerto Rican rattlesnake is back from travels. 2020. Happy New Year, everybody. We did our last show on New Year's Eve in the Speedweed Studios, but we are back to our regular spots. Lewis, how you doing, buddy?
I'm pretty good, man. A lot of traveling. It does take it out of me. I don't know what it is. The first day I get back, I feel like I was hit by a truck, and I had a blast. We hung out, obviously, in Los Angeles. We were at the Comedy Store. You came out that night, did a great job on Legion of Skanks. You guys can go listen to the episode of Legion of Skanks, which was very offensive. And then I went down to San Diego, which I had a blast in. But it's I'm getting old, man. After this trip, I was like, you know what, dude? I need to get sober. I need to get in shape. I need a hug. I need religion. I need a lot of good things in my life because I'm living my life like I'm a 19-year-old kid. It's terrible.
Well, fortunately, it's that time of year where everybody is doing so. Everybody's doing that, and that's what it's all about. And that's great. 2020, I'm making some big changes. I'm on a tremendous workout routine. I'm not drinking alcohol anymore. Laugh at me all you want, but it is true. I haven't had a drink. I have not had a drink since I was with you on New Year's Eve and Rebecca Bisbee. She was great on the show, by the way. Thank you for all the positive comments towards Rebecca. But New Year's Eve, you were great. The Legion of Skanks, you guys were fucking awesome. You killed at the Comedy Store. It was really, really cool. Obviously, we did the podcast like you just said. And then me and Rebecca sat down. We watched the show. We had a few drinks. We enjoyed ourselves. And you guys were awesome. All three of you. You, Dave Smith, Big J, and then all the other acts as well. Fucking hilarious, mate. Good job.
Yeah, we brought a little bit of the New York comedy style to the Comedy Store. It was a bunch of New York guys. We brought a bunch of people out, and it was incredible. Sold out show all night long. You know, it's a different experience. We do a comedy show, obviously, but it feels more like a party. And, you know, in those moments, I just show you because you see, dude, look, we all tell jokes, but how can you create a moment? And for me, I like to just get absolutely drunk and then crowd surf on top of unsuspecting fans who I'm crushing.
Listen. I don't know how the fuck you do it because, listen, for those that don't know, that haven't seen Lewis, well, most people in the world don't know Lewis and hang around with Lewis. He's fucking mental, okay? He does a lot of, he gets very, very intoxicated. George St. Pierre would have a field day with this man with his levels of intoxication and then goes out there live on stage and performs stand-up. And you couldn't tell, I mean, other than the fact that you're crazy, maybe that's a slight indication, but other than that, not in your delivery of the jokes or anything like that, you're just... You know, you're out of your mind, you're drinking whiskey, you're doing all kinds of shenanigans, a lot of which you would be arrested for, but then you go out on stage and fucking murder, you know?
I like
Bravo,
Lewis.
My friend.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you, Michael, and thank you, Brendan. It was quite the experience, and yeah, it was fun, man. I always have a blast hanging out with you. I love Los Angeles. I want to move there one day so badly. All the pieces just have to sort of come together because it's just amazing. You feel so good every time you go out to L.A. Everyone's just in a better mood. Also, I'll say this much. The food's better in L.A. I realize this.
Whoa. Hold on a minute. hold on. New York City is the melting pot of the world. You've got every type of cuisine and culture and background. If you want Indian food, you've got the best Indian food. If you want tacos, we got the best tacos. That's what you always say. But now you back off from that. You realize you were wrong and you say Los Angeles has the best food.
I'll give you that. I'll give you guys have a little bit better food. New York, it's just like, sort of like everything's the same. Like you get a burger, you get a taco, whatever it is. Like in LA, you go to a taco place and it's like a completely unique take on tacos. And they got like, fuck it, it's like Korean tacos. You're like, they don't even make tacos in Korea. They're like, well, there's a brand new Korean taco spot in LA. It's great.
Yeah, but you went to that place. It's actually called the world's most unusual Korean taco spot in the world. Okay, so you've got to find unusual tacos there. No, listen, I love LA. Actually, at the weekend, we were up there, me and Rebecca and little Lucas, house shopping, went to a few open houses. Nothing in our price range yet. Guys, we need the subscriptions to at least double this. If I'm going to move to Los Angeles in a mansion, come on, let's go. Lewis, I do want to say this. We're speaking on the phone this morning. We're texting about the show going back and forth. Lewis is like, can we change it to tomorrow? I've got a very busy day today. Just be honest. Be honest with me. Be honest with the listeners. It had nothing to do with being busy. Because since I saw you, which was a very good night on New Year's Eve, which was last Tuesday, right? We haven't done a show. We enjoyed ourselves that night. I didn't get too crazy. Since then, I've been on the straight and narrow. I haven't had a drink. I've been working out every day. You went off to San Diego and you continued this lifestyle of shame and just, you know, this terrible lifestyle, just night after night partying and drinking and having a good time, basically. And now you're back. And that's why you didn't want to do the show today, because you wanted an extra day to recover. You're in your late 30s. After a session like that, 5 days, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 4 days, 5 days, whichever. Come on. You need more than one day to get your head straight.
I was up at 7 o'clock this morning, took James to school, and I was on the Real Ass Podcast at 11 a.m. this morning down at the studio. I was already here, baby boy. I was already here. I got so. The problem is when I go out of town for that long, I let everything fall at the wayside. So all of these other responsibilities that I have, I just, you know, when I get back. And now I'm back and I have to answer like 40 emails, 5 meetings. We have a comedy festival that's coming up in March that I just ignored for the past week. It's craziness. So I said, Michael Bisping, hey, you know what? Tuesdays are pretty open for both of us. Why don't we do the podcast tomorrow? Bisping, oh no, I'm on this brand new training regimen. I have to be at this time at the gym. I gotta drink a gallon of water at this time. I gotta take my supplements. I got a fucking bodybuilder sucking my dick every day, apparently, and telling me that I'm the fucking man.
Whoa!
The whole Michael Bisping's new regimented lifestyle. Even though if Bisping had a headache right now, he'd call me up like, yeah, mate, we're not doing the fucking podcast. Back, tell Lewis to fuck off. Click, and then I wouldn't hear from him in 3 days.
Listen, you asshole. None of that came out of my mouth. None of that was said. I actually said, and I can bring up the text messages right now. I'm very busy this week, okay? I've been filming a documentary for 2 years almost. I got the first screening to see if I want to make any changes to it on Wednesday. On Thursday, I have some very important meetings about a potential show. I have today and I have tomorrow, but we have to get a second show in this week. So delaying it by a day, when we already haven't done a show in a week because Mr. Light Fantastic tripping about, shirking his responsibilities. Okay, today had to be the day.
That's almost true. Said
today had to be the day, baby boy. I will not say baby boy anymore. Okay, that's gone, removed from my vocabulary. Okay, such heinous accusations that you're throwing my way. There's no more baby boy. What else do you say? There's no more doggy. Okay, I'm speaking like an adult, a mature adult that doesn't drink alcohol. Listen, 2020, it's January. You're going to start as you mean to go on. Will I fail? Probably. But right now, I'm feeling good. I'm waking up sick. You're bigging yourself up saying you get up at 7. I'll see you at 7. I'll raise you by another 30 minutes. 6:30. That's my go-to, 6:30 a.m. every day. I'm drinking coffee. I'm checking the news. I'm doing my emails. You know, I'm productive. I've got my face, my cheekbones are starting to come back a little bit. I'm working out. I've got a great routine from one of the best bodybuilders in the world, who incidentally isn't my dick. Thank you very much. He very, very kindly gave me this very, very good routine and a diet and things like that. And he's going to join us, Mr. Mike O'Hearn, the Titan is who I'm talking about. He's going to join us shortly. But thank you for those accusations, Lewis.
Yeah, I don't give you any credit for, Jesus Christ, look at this guy's fucking body.
He's gigantic.
He's a monster. I don't give you any credit for waking up 30 minutes earlier than a fat drug addict stand-up comedian. You're a professional athlete, okay? You are a year and a half removed from being a world champion. You can't pat yourself on the back for barely beating me to the punch. That's psychotic.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can, because I can. Listen, 6:30 is a very reasonable time to get up. For me, that's very good. And I'll tell you this, and I mean this, I know I just said this 5 minutes ago. I'm sorry to keep banging on about it, but no more booze. I'm going to be booze-free. Obviously, next week in Vegas, we got Connor versus Cowboy Cerrone. I'll be there working the desk for ESPN. That's going to be the real test. Can I do a Vegas weekend and not have any drink? Because lately, you know, when I say lately, it's been less than a week. I don't need it. I don't need it in my life. I wake up, I'm feeling good. I'm going to the gym. I eat better. I'm just a better person. So I'm trying to eradicate it. My plan is 1 month at a time. And then listen, everybody out there at this time of year, you want to lose weight. You want to be healthier. You only get one body, right? You get one life. As Ricky Gervais said last night, there isn't a sequel. You get one life. You live your best life. Try and be as healthy as possible for as long as possible. So therefore, I'm getting rid of the booze. There you go.
I think it's great. I don't believe you. If I was there right now, I could get Michael Bisping to crack a beer with me right now easily. Nope. All I have to do is put it in front of him. It's this easy, guys. If you want Michael Bisping to drink, put a drink in front of him and just walk away. And 10 out of 10 times, he's going to drink that drink.
Listen, that's wrong. But listen, I can't pretend that I don't enjoy alcohol. I do. And you mocking me and making light of the situation, Lewis, is not being a good friend. You're not being very supportive. It's like the similar comparison to you would be if I was to present you with a cheeseburger, okay? You or Harrington would suck that up in a heartbeat, okay? You would eat that cheeseburger. You would suck it up, lick your lips, and then say, can I have another one, please?
Can we get a cheeseburger? That sounds delicious. He just mentioned it, and I'm sort of into that idea right now. Yeah, you're right. You're 100% right. But it is, we've talked about this before, sort of food addiction on the show. It's fucked up because if you're addicted to food like I am, I have to put food in my mouth. It's like if you're a heroin addict, people won't do heroin around you. Like, dude, you know what? Let's not do drugs around fucking Mike. He's got an issue. I don't want to drink around him. They're very conscious of that. Nobody cares.
My wife isn't. I'm not drinking. She's literally pouring wine every night. Not a lot. She doesn't drink a lot. She has one or two glasses. That's it. Wow. But she's offering me, Michael, would you like a glass of wine? I'm like, no, I don't. She's like, are you sure? I'm like, yes. She goes, it's good wine. And I'm like, babe, please, for crying out loud, support me. I'm trying to do something good with my life. Sorry, didn't mean to cut you off.
No, it's okay. Yeah, I mean, the drinking for me... I never feel like the drinking was a problem. Like you think the drinking for you, because this you come back to it a lot. You come back to it a lot and say that
it's not a problem for me. It's not a problem, but I know, and this sounds a little bloody conceive, believe, achieve-y, but I know that it's holding me back in my life. You know, it's not a problem. I am not an alcoholic. Contrary to all the jokes that we make and things like that, I don't have a drinking problem, but I wish I didn't drink. Like I only drink in social circumstances, you know what I mean? When I'm with people, stuff like that. But I'm just sick of waking up in the morning feeling like shit. I'm sick of taking on all those calories right before I go to bed. Do you know what I mean? And you know, obviously it's not good for my liver. I've done it since I was 15, 16 years old, and I'm in my 40s now. Now it's time to eradicate it from my life. But you said a moment ago, talking about cheeseburgers and whatnot. As I said, we're going to get Michael Hearn on the show in just a little bit here. He's got me this new program, which, by the way, for everybody, go ahead.
I just don't want you to shift over to the program yet because I kind of wanted to just see what the definition of alcoholism was, just to see if we meet that standard. So for men,
all right, no, hold on, and we've got to be honest. I will be brutally honest. Okay, all right, let's go. Oh, nervous, very nervous.
All right, let me make sure I have the correct source because, okay, this is the drinking levels defined. Because you know on Google, when you Google it and then they have the answer, it's always from one website. And who knows if that's the correct website, right?
But this is what this says. And you got to be careful because if you go to like that WebMD with any ailment, you've always got cancer or AIDS. Yeah. You know what I mean? And depending on which, you know, depending on who wrote the article, the goalposts are going to be different. You know what I'm saying? So without further ado, go ahead. Let's break it down. Let's find out how fucked up we are.
Okay, ready? How many drinks per day makes you an alcoholic? For men, four or fewer drinks per day. Low risk alcohol consumption.
Whoa. Four or fewer? Don't you mean four or less? Because if you have fewer, it would be one or even zero. Four or more.
I'm just reading what it says. So this website stinks because they can't even write things clearly.
Yeah, they've dropped the ball immediately. Immediately. Four or less drinks. It should be four or more. So if I have one, I'm an alcoholic.
Okay, this is a chart right now. Actually, try to pull this up if we can visually see this. Because it's from the Washington Post, okay? No, don't do that one. Do the Washington Post. It says, if you just simply look up Washington Post, think you drink a lot, this chart will tell you. Because it's kind of fun. The average number of drinks per capita consumed in the past week among adults 18 or over.
This is terrible. If you're going to do this, you need to be prepped. You can't be going through every article on the internet live on the show to bring up something decent. Four or fewer. Washington Press. What else you got, Lewis? Come on.
This is what I do, baby boy. Don't tell me. I never read the articles first. Do you think I'm concerned? This is my magic. If I thought about what I was going to say before I said it, it would be fucking horseshit. You want us to improv. You want us to be in the moment. So.
Spontaneous. I get it. But please, back it up with something. Here we go.
But I will say, after looking at this chart and realizing how confusing it was in real time, you're right on this one.
Yeah, it's like you're going through every fucking article on the internet to back up what you're saying live on the show. I get it. You want to be spontaneous. You want to live in the moment. But everybody else listening to it is fucking on the verge of turning off the podcast.
That's
right
not
now.
True. Like, they love it. They
like,
love it.
Yeah. Yeah, because now I'm busting your balls about it. If we both went all quiet and I'm like, we're waiting.
But we wouldn't do that because that's not what we do. If a car crash happens, it's beautiful. It's better.
Do you have a point with this? Or can I move on to the eating side of things that I was going to bring up?
I don't.
Okay. Excellent talk. Point made. Very, very good. One to Bisping, zero to Lewis. And it's 2020. New decade. We're keeping points. I was going to say.
He's ahead of the points.
BYM points. Not coins. All right, guys. I want to take a quick second to tell you about CBDMD. Of course, I'm wearing the shirt today. I'm a proud ambassador of this company. I've been with them for a while. Why? Because CBD is the real deal. If you're suffering from anxiety, you can't sleep, you've got aches and pains, inflammation, CBD will help you with all of that. All you got to do is go online and do a little Google search and you'll find out about all the benefits of CBD. Of course, CBD has nothing to do with getting high, Lewis, unfortunately for you. But Lewis, you love CBD as well.
I do love CBD. I've been giving it to my aunt who she has osteoarthritis. She's 82 years old. My aunt was very, very anti-drug, anti-marijuana, never smoked weed in her life. And also, to be honest with you, my aunt was anti-CBD because she didn't really understand. And now that it's become so popular and so many different people are using it, I showed her the research. 50% of people with osteoarthritis are using this to help them, right? So I showed her specifically this is medicine. Now she's been using it. It's been helping her. She's relieved so much pain. She was in physical agony every single day. And now it's still bothersome, but it's like 90% less than it was. It truly is causing miracles for her.
Yeah, well, listen to this, and, you know, this is a personal experience of mine from just last week. You know, obviously, it's the new year. Everyone's working out. I'm on a strict training regime now, and I had a pain in my shoulder, and I couldn't lift. I couldn't do my shoulder weights. It was killing. It was really pissing me off. That night before I went to bed, and this is a true story, right? I rubbed in some of the Recover. I give it a good massage into my shoulder, and when I woke up in the morning, that pain had gone, disappeared, vanished. Gone from my life, Lewis. The range of motion was back. The weights were being pushed. I was like a new man. People even said to me when I walked into the gym, Michael, you have a pep in your step today. I see that you're going to attack these weights with a different kind of vigor. What has changed? I said, I've just been nailing the CBD, guys.
So you're telling me you took the Recovery, you just rubbed it on where you were in pain, and then it disappeared. It was gone forever. You're telling me that.
It was gone in the morning. I swear to God. I'm not lying.
Would I be able to rub some of this on Mike Harrington? Maybe just slather it all over his body. And then he just vanishes into the night.
Well, listen, CBDMD is the best on the market, bar none. And it will get rid of many aches and pains, but dirty, horrible, disgusting, slithering, lingering smells and stains like Harrington, I don't know about that, okay? Yeah. But listen, here's the thing, CBDMD, the best quality CBD on the market, some of the best prices per milligram that you're going to find, and grown inside the USA as well, Lewis.
Dude, I love it, and they really offer some amazing deals already as it is. Free shipping on all U.S. orders, 30-day money-back guarantee as it is. But fans of this show, they get an incredible deal because you can save 20% off your entire order if you go to CBDMD.com, use the promo code BYM20. Save 20% right now. Go to CBDMD right now. See if this can help you out. Do a little bit of research. See if this is the thing for you. And if you do it, save that 20% by using our promo code. It also lets them know that we sent you there, and we do appreciate when you guys support our sponsors. All right, where were we?
You mentioned something about eating before. One of the things that Michael Hearn has in his diet, obviously there's, you're lifting weights 4 days a week. You're doing cardio 5 days a week. You're doing 300 sit-ups after your cardio. And obviously there's a strict diet. But on Sundays, it's a 24-hour fast. A 24-hour fast. And we'll ask him the science behind this when he joins us. But I'll be honest, I failed. I failed yesterday. I got out of bed. I'm like, oh, no, I'm doing it. I'm fasting. I Googled what to do. Apparently, if you drink green tea, it will stave off the hunger. Let me tell you, that's fucking bullshit, because I was starving. And okay, I read about psychological hunger and physical hunger. There's two different things. I'm like, okay, I get it. I probably just think I'm hungry. Drink some water, makes you feel full. Drink some green tea. Okay. And I was okay. And I got to 12 o'clock and I did my little stretching routine. I got my soul right out. I'm working on my range of motion. And then I started doing some research, because I got a couple of commentating things coming up. And then the hunger hit, and it hit. And I started thinking, well, it's not like I'm dieting for something right now. You know what I mean? Right? I don't have a movie role coming up just yet where I need to be topless. So I'm like, and it's not even Monday. And the first Monday of the new year is tomorrow. So fuck it. I made myself. I had a cooked chicken in the fridge. I ripped off the chicken. I put it on some bread with some mayonnaise and some onions, some salt and pepper. And I tell you what.
You made a sandwich. You didn't even have something healthy.
That was the best chicken sandwich I ever had in my fucking life, because I was so starving. So I thank Michael Hearn for that. Here's the key to a good chicken sandwich. Fucking starve yourself before. It's going to be great.
Yeah. Well, we're going to have Michael Hearn come on in just a few minutes here, maybe 15 minutes or so. He's going to call in. But explain the workout a little bit, because I need to get motivated as well. And for me, it's weird. And we talked about this plenty of times. It's not even just having a goal, like a fight or something stupid like that coming up. I need to get motivated and get into it. So when there's a new program, like I got into that that one program that I got on YouTube that was awesome, right?
Body Beast.
It wasn't Body Beast. I never got into it that much. There was another one that was really fucking, it was borderline watching gay porn. It was a dude with like Bieber hair, and he was just jacked, and it was him standing with a German guy, and they were feeling each other's muscles. But the workouts were fucking great. They were really good. They were handsome men.
On this week, we got to your zip workout, okay? You pump the biceps, you pump the muscles. The training partner feels the bicep and gives you good compliments. Yeah, I feel like you were watching German gay porn there.
It was called Jeff Seed's Shredded Club.
It's going to inject you with the seeds and you will get shredded.
Pull up a picture of Jeff Seed, Jeff S-E-I-E-D for Bisping. You're going to see exactly what I'm talking about. This guy, he's jacked.
I want to see this guy.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to see this guy so bad. Listen, let Michael Hearn explain the fucking workout. It's his routine. It's his workout. But I will tell you this. Ever since I retired, I've still been going to the gym, still been lifting weights. But I'll tell you this. Since Mike actually gave me this proper program, which now I can follow, this guy. Oh, my God. I'll tell you what. This guy's fucking ripped.
Look at hair.
He's in good shape. No wonder you were trying to look like him. Lewis, I tell you what, if you ever achieve that level of toned, athletic, if you ever look like that, Lewis, I'll give you some cash. I'll give you, there's a monetary incentive for you. $500. The day you send me a picture of you looking like that, $500. There you go. Go buy a supplement of your choice.
I'm not Harrington. I don't live in a garden. $500 isn't enough for me to spend 3 years of my life getting that jacked.
It's self-improvement. I'm going to pay you and reward you for you becoming the best version of yourself in 2020.
But that's more valuable than $500. If I was that jacked, I would quit this show and I would fucking move to Hollywood and I'd be fucking, I'd be a model right now. Yeah, I mean, that's almost a little too jacked. Those guys are all like Mr. Universes. No. That's what Michael Hearn.
Never too jacked. Anyway, I was just going to say, let me finish my point. Here's the thing. And here's what I would say to everybody out there, and yourself included, and everybody listening to this show right now that goes to the gym. And listen, I've been around gyms my entire life. So I know what I'm doing in a gym, you know, and you know, I have some knowledge, but I still, for the most part, kind of freestyle it. I have my little routine, but I've done it for a while. Everybody knows you got to shock the system. You can't do the same thing all the time. You got to shock the system. But since Mike gave me this routine, it's really good because I go in there and it's there. It's on my phone. I look at it. I go, right, you know, that, and I don't need the guy with me. I know my form. I know how to do it. I know how to lift weights. But there it is in black and white. That's what I'm doing today. And that is so beneficial to have. It really is.
The problem is when you don't really know, and you know, you, I mean, look, I think I know better than the average person and how to work out and how to put together a program, right? But you get demotivated after a while. Your body plateaus. You don't feel the same type of, like, you know, your muscles tearing the same way. You're not seeing the same type of results. That's where I'm at now. So now I actually don't know the direction to go to. So you start to go into the gym and you feel like you're running a race and there's no real finish line. There's no real goalposts. You don't really know if you're going in the right direction. And that's why having a really good program with somebody who really knows what they're doing is huge. Most people can't afford a personal trainer. Personal training is crazy expensive.
Yeah, absolutely. Certainly, I don't know what it's like in New York, but out here in Orange County or Southern California, it's very, very expensive compared to England. Now, I'm not talking London, but I know for a fact, because I have a couple of buddies that are personal trainers, and I see them advertising on, you know, on Instagram and whatnot. That's where everybody advertises these days. They charge like £25-30 for an hour for a personal training session. Here, I think the going rate's like 120, something like that, for an hour. So, same in New York?
Yeah, if it's a nice place. If you're like Equinox or one of the higher-end gyms, you're going to pay $125, $150 an hour. It can go down to $25 an hour. You can get a shit trainer for $25 an hour. Maybe there's some good ones. Yeah, but the reality is, like, you know, look, it's a lot of time, you know, to go and actually to get a good trainer who really understands what they're doing, not just a meathead who knows how to throw weights around, right? Somebody who understands the difference between your body and the next person's body. If you have personal injuries, you have a shoulder injury, the type of things that you have to do in order to make up the difference, that takes a lot of time, and you're going to pay a lot of money to go to somebody to do that. If it's just simply about motivation, get a workout buddy. I think you could probably find somebody that you guys can help each other motivate and sort of stay on top of each other. But I think it's sort of depending on what your needs are, it gets more and more expensive. So you shouldn't fuck around with it either, to be honest with you. Bad form, you could fuck up the rest of your life, dude. If you're using bad form while you're lifting weights, you can throw out your back and that's it. That's life.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Listen, I was explaining to Lucas at the weekend, in fact yesterday, which was the weekend, that pretty much in life you get what you pay for. We're looking at e-bikes right now because we just got his mountain bike fixed and I'm going to start mountain biking. I tried my first run and it went terribly. I'm not supposed to run with my new knee. So I thought I'm going to buy a bike and start mountain biking. I went into the shop and the guy's trying to sell me a $5,000 fucking e-bike, right? So anyway, which I test drove, which are amazing, by the way. Amazing. I think I'm going to get one.
What's an e-bike?
I Googled it has a battery and it assists you going up hills and stuff. So when you're coming down here on flats, you're all by yourself. You got three different, you know, levels. One where it's hardly any assistance. Two where it's a lot of assistance. Three where you can go up a hill. And you're not even, it's fucking great. And the guy, and I was like, well, hold on, you're not going to burn calories, are you? He said, well, the thing is, you can go out there for hours and still be doing this. And it's a lot of fun, like mountain biking, the parts where you're going up the hills and stuff, you know. So anyway, the point I was making, I Googled some e-bikes last night and there were some way cheaper ones. And Lucas was like, well, why are that cheaper? And I said, well, son, pretty much in life, and not always, but a pretty good rule is that you generally get what you pay for. Sometimes you might be getting ripped off, but generally you do get what you pay for. And it's the same with personal training. You know what I mean? It really is. You know, most things, because as you said, if you fucking have terrible form, you injure yourself, that's going to put you out for a while. You know, and the people, you know, a good personal trainer, a real good personal trainer, it takes a long time to acquire that knowledge. It really does.
Yeah, and it's also the more specific you get, I think it can be more expensive. But I mean, the best training I ever had in my life was with Diego. Diego was charging me half of what they would be charging at like a high-end gym. And so it just depends on what you need. The reality is there's really almost no wrong way to go out there and exercise. If you're moving around or whatever, it's great. But for me, I need that roadmap and I need to know that I'm there. So I'm actually really excited to talk to Michael Hearn. I know he's just about ready to come on, so you guys can give him a ring really quick. But I'm excited.
Well, the hardest thing is getting off the couch. The hardest thing is walking through the front door. That's the biggest challenge. I was just at the gym before I came here and I was sitting in the sauna. After I've been in the sauna, oh, there he is. There's our guy. What's up, Mike?
What's up, boys?
Well, listen, first of all, thank you. The Titan, the one and only Mike O'Hearn, one of the best bodybuilders in the world, and one of the nicest guys you could ever meet. Mike, I know you're a busy man. Thanks for taking the time to join us.
Thanks, guys, for having me on here.
Yeah, no, listen, the catalyst for wanting to get you on, really, obviously 2020, it's the new year. Everyone's trying to get in shape. They're trying to become a better version of themselves. And you sent me very kindly the 30-day fast program. And I was just telling Lewis a little bit about it, my co-host, tell him about the routine and things like that. So I thought, who better to get on here and talk about this than the man himself?
Well, thank you. And I'm hoping this phone is... this up and you're seeing me and everything. Sorry about the internet here.
It's okay.
But I was listening to some of your, what you guys were talking about how if you're up and moving and grooving, that's kind of like the best thing you can possibly do. And there's a portion of that I agree. But the one biggest aspect about health and fitness and, you know, mostly for you being a martial artist, is you guys overtrain so much and you kind of have to, it goes with the territory, that it drops back onto nutrition. And, I always say that I can change somebody with nutrition alone without exercise. I cannot change somebody with exercise alone with bad nutrition.
Well, you hear those ratios. They say sometimes, oh, it's 90% nutrition, 80% nutrition, whatever it is. I know from my personal experience, it sort of goes hand in hand because when I'm eating well, I feel good and I want to exercise more, you know? And if I have a good day at the gym, I'm like, well, I don't want to fuck it up and then go eat a sandwich afterwards. So it's psychological more than anything else. But you're saying that if somebody doesn't have the ability to get out there and exercise every day, just by changing their diet, they can make major changes in their life.
100%. 100%. But again, I'll go back and I've been doing this for 40 years. Not that many people can actually do that. It is easier to exercise and get moving than it is to eat healthy and eat right constantly.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right, Mike. Here's the thing. Like, I mean, anyone looking at this right now can see you're a very, very well-built man, right? You've done this your entire life and you've dedicated your life to it. And you know, we were at a mutual friend's wedding, our good friend, Dr. Connolly, recently. And let me tell you, Lewis, right? The dedication that this man has, it is fucking, it's off the charts, right? Because listen, we're all trying to get better. We're all trying to get healthy and stuff. He's at a good friend's wedding. We're sitting there and the guy isn't eating or drinking a damn thing. And I'm like, Mike, what, you know, have something to eat. And he's like, no, I'm on a 72-hour fast. A 72-hour fast. And I'm like, why are you doing that? And he said, well, I just want to test myself. I just want to see if I can do it. Do you know what I mean? So for all these people that sit there and go, oh, you know, it's easy. I mean, the dedication and the discipline that you have, Mike, it's kind of ridiculous. Talk to me a little bit about where that comes from.
I grew up as an athlete because I couldn't read and write very well. Grew up with dyslexia, so school was tough from the start. And so I just took to sports and athletics, and by a very young age, I started competing in martial arts and powerlifting and bodybuilding. And I just stayed true to that and stayed with that. And I was also lucky enough to be in a family of 10 that all did martial arts and powerlifting and bodybuilding. And I'm talking about my sisters as well. So I got to learn this at a young age and I just stayed with that discipline. And I tried to learn. You know, nobody says it better than Bruce Lee. It's not enough to do understand it. You got to apply it. And I really tested everything. And so I'm not here to say this way is the best way to diet or that way. It's try everything, man. Try it. See if it works for you. If it works for you, great. And then understand that you're going to have to change up. And just like when you fight a different fighter, you got to change up the way you fight to beat the other guy. And it's the same way with the body. The body will adapt no matter how good you eat, no matter how much of an animal you are in the gym. Your body will adapt to that, and you need to learn to change it. I just did that through a lifetime. Talk to me.
Well, what do you say to the person that maybe doesn't have that psychological thing, who's never worked out a day in their life, who doesn't have the knowledge? Because I think that's where a lot of people – sort of, they have this starting point where they weren't athletes, they didn't grow up with martial arts or athletes in their family, and they don't even know step number one. They're like, the idea of being in the type of shape that you're in, or even the type of shape that Michael Bisping is in, seems like an absolute impossible task. But what do you say to that person to sort of get them just step one? Because I was a fat kid growing up, and if you would have told me when I was a kid, like, oh, dude, in 3 or 4 months you could actually be in great shape, that would have been something great, but it's kind of hard to kind of get there.
I'm going to save you and the listeners an incredible, painful task. To assume that you need to be this diet like a bodybuilder or train like a bodybuilder is incorrect. You guys are going to actually be able to see someone that has worked out for a lifetime. How long have you been training, Mike?
Oh, listen, Michael, I started doing martial arts. Yeah, 8 years old. 8 years old. So I'm 41. So 32 years old. I started properly, right, you know, as an athlete, 22, 23.
Okay. So now for him, you would say, would you guys agree that you would say, well, that's a guy that's been in the gym a lot of his life, the majority?
Yeah.
And you're going to be able to see him change in 30 days off a simple program. And I'll explain why that works for an advanced person like Michael, or the housewife that hasn't trained in 10 years and she has 3 kids she's raising.
Rebecca.
It's the reason. Okay. The reason why it works is because any exercise is basically a ladder. And what I mean by that is you need to restart every single time. And a majority of elite athletes don't restart. They stay at that 100% throughout the year. And then they start getting the injuries time. They start overtraining tremendously and they start deteriorating. What you want to do is go extreme for a portion of time. This is great. And then slow it down and restart it. And so the program that Mike is on is something that I'm going to bypass because society wants everything now, now, now. I'm going to bypass getting the metabolism to work. We're just going to kick that into gear by the amount of calories he's in, by adding in fasting. And then we're going to do a basic workout training with volume that anybody can do. And this is going to kick him into gear. And in 30 days, you're going to see a change. And that program can work for, like we said, Rebecca, or anybody, or me.
Well, the thing is, Mike, it's actually already taking effect because, you know, I was just explaining to Lewis, when you have a program that you got to follow step by step, it takes the guesswork out of it. And it's right there in front of you in black and white. And it comes down to a choice of, can I stick to this or do I not have the discipline? Do I lack that mental fortitude to be good enough to be able to do this? And I'd like to think that I have, but I will come honest with you. I was just saying a second ago, I failed on the fast yesterday. I stumbled at the first hard hurdle, but today is the first Monday of the year. So next Sunday, I must admit, at 3 p.m., I say, fuck this, I'm having a chicken sandwich. So I apologize, Mike. I failed, but I still feel good.
I got some tricks for you. On those fast days, make sure you're still getting the water in. And then also, yep, I would do a training on that fast day. I would train. Because your body and your mind are going to be, you're going to fire into a different level of focus by doing that, especially on the day that you're fasting. And that will keep you away from cheating. And then do the little tricks I told you. Take a picture. For everybody that's listening to this, take a picture. Actually, take a picture. Don't assume what you look like. But as soon as you take a picture and look at it, it changes everything. Because now you're seeing how everybody else sees you. And you go, wait a minute, I thought I wasn't bad for 25. I didn't think I was bad for 35, 45, or whatever it is. And you see that photo, you go, okay, this changes things.
Well, you know, I took
people
a picture.
Have a tendency to lie to themselves.
Oh, yeah. I took a picture and you're right. You know, listen, you know, I need to work on my tan. I need to shave my chest. I got to lose some fat. I got to tone up. Okay. It didn't make me feel too good. But my co-host right here, Luis J. Gomez, he refuses to even take the picture. He won't take the shirt off and he won't take a picture.
Yeah, because you're a fucking professional athlete. And even when you're out of shape, you look great. I look like a tubby piece of shit. So I need to get in out of my shirt shape just for the before picture. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's a problem. Okay, my before picture is a goddamn mess. What are, all right, because Bisping sent me your program, which I'm sure that he's doing some sort of copyright infringement. I'm sure you didn't want him just sharing it out there like he's doing.
No, stop. I sent it to you so that we can discuss it on the show. You total asshole.
So do me a favor, just so, real quick, some quick changes, because obviously we want people to go to your website, which I have, or I had right up here. Just send me that website again if you can, because I want people to go to your website, and I'm assuming that they can grab fitness tips. There's different things that they could purchase, different programs that they could purchase, which has worked for me in the past. I've gotten ones that are just online because I've had that roadmap. It kept me motivated, and it was very, very clear what I had to do, and I'm actually really excited to do this. I'm going to do this with Bisping as well, and we're going to use this program as our
fitness challenge.
Are you
going to take your photo?
I'll take it today, baby.
Yes!
Take it.
Go ahead, Mike. My bad.
No. Take it and just keep it. You don't need to show it right now. And then watch the difference in 30 days when it's done correctly.
Yeah. I'm very excited. Well, if there's a couple quick tips that you can give our listeners, because we have I'll say right now, we've seen pictures of our fan base. They're not good. These are not athletes by any means, okay? So just some quick
It's funny. I'll give you some quick tips that are basic things that people, everybody wants to jump down the road a bit, and they forget the basics. You know, one thing that will keep your metabolism going fast is drinking enough water. Just drinking enough water will keep your metabolism. Everybody just, well, that's so basic. I don't want that. I want the trick. Trust me. You start up in that water, you're going to start getting that metabolism going without even exercising. And you're going to go, holy sheesh, how did that? That's just a trick. A second trick is honestly get enough sleep. Your body only releases certain hormones that your body recover. And it's only when you sleep. So those are two basic things that society just gets rid of. Also, let's not just think about this. You guys are thinking about let's get in shape. How about stay healthy and youthful? I mean, because we got one life. So let's enjoy this. Let's be smart enough to understand that, all right, I can maintain the nutrition. I can get these workouts in, but I really want to get this time machine where everybody will look better in a year than they do right now. That's the ultimate goal. That's what weightlifting and heat and right should do for you. It shouldn't just keep you average. It shouldn't just keep you maintaining. Get better.
Yeah, totally agree, Mike. In fact, that's what we were talking about. My main goal this year is to be healthier and live a longer life. You know, we're all family men. We all have children. I want to see them grow old. I want to have grandkids. I want to be able to be active with them when I'm older. So I totally agree, Mike.
You said something there. You said active. Because somebody is not live until you're 100. It's being active as long as you possibly can. You want to go out and wrestle with your grandkids. You want to be able to move, play basketball, whatever that is. You want to be able to move and groove as you get older. And that's the stuff we need to start thinking about when you're younger.
Okay. Well, listen, Mike.
After we get you guys in shape here, then we're going to talk about actually using exercise to make you more youthful. And that's a different kind of program.
All right. I've got an idea. And by the way, Lewis, Mike is one of these people, which again, truly disciplined. He's at the gym at 4 a.m. every day. So maybe not 4 a.m. because Mr. O'Hearn has invited me many times. Fortunately, I have the best excuse in the world. I live in Orange County. It's a very long drive. But next time you're in town, Lewis, after 30 days on this program, we'll go see Mike. We'll film the whole thing and we'll let Mike kick our asses in the gym. How's that sound to you, Mike?
I like that idea.
That sounds incredible.
Idea.
And where can people grab this specific program to do it with us? Because I'm starting today. And also, how many days a week are you in the gym with this program?
Oh, you're going to love this. 4 days a week with work. You're weightlifting 4 days a week. You're doing cardio 5 days.
That ain't nothing,
so
baby
you,
boy.
You're 9-to-5ers. You guys can make this happen. Anybody can do this. I'm not giving you this 2020. I'm a badass. I want 7 days a week, 7 days of cardio. It's not that. This is feasible for anybody.
Wow. I love it. So what's the website?
Just go to Mike O'Hearn. Mike O'Hearn.
MikeOHearn.com. Grab that program. We're going to do it as well. I'll do the before picture today. Maybe we'll just wait to release the before and after pictures when we do it at the end of the 30 days. Does that make sense?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the whole idea, Lewis.
We'll do it.
Well, I'm saying we don't have to show now. Before the results happen, we don't have to show.
Exactly. Listen, I ain't showing mine. He said, go in there and take a picture right now. I took it. Unfortunately, he said, but you just keep that to yourself. Put that to one side. Look at that for motivation. See the differences. And then at the end, when we want to show off how great we look, then we can say, look, look at the transformation. Listen, Mike, thank you for joining us. Really, really appreciate it. I know you're a busy man. Happy New Year to you and your family. All the best. And we'll see you soon, my friend.
Talk, guys. Thanks, man.
Very cool.
Awesome.
The great Mike O'Hearn. Look at that body. Holy Jesus. Wowza.
Hey, listen. And let me tell you, you know, like a lot of people talk about bodybuilders and things that, like, oh, they're just all show. Dude, you want to see the stuff that this guy's in the gym? Go to his Instagram if you want to get inspiration. I mean, I don't know how much weight was on this squat bar once, but he must have done 50 squats with like five bars on each side. He's an incredible athlete and incredibly disciplined. You know, that's what inspires me. The discipline and the dedication is very, very inspiring.
Yeah, I mean, I never really have a super hard time getting motivated. Once I'm sort of there, and I'm not lying. I know this sounds like it's a big fucking advertisement for Mike O'Hearn's website.
I know.
It's really, truly not. Like, you're friends with him, and I really believe this. We're not pushing anything on you. Don't go buy that. If you can be inspired to go look up a free program on YouTube, then fine. You know, do that as well. I think it's good to share these things because as we're talking about it with Mr. O'Hearn, I'm very motivated right now. You just sent me, when you texted me the program, I'm looking at even just the stupid things. It just says the extra. I'm like, dude, I'm going to fucking do this now because I feel like it's a very specific goal and I want to see the type of results that I get. And when you look at a guy like that who truly knows what he's doing, I think we will, at the end of this, it will be a really cool advertisement for his thing. But I'm actually super motivated and I hope the fans of the show that are listening to this, I hope they get motivated too. It's stupid. I know we just say dumb things all the time. We try to bust each other's balls and there we go. Nice shot, Harrington. Harrington picked that one out.
I mentioned, you know, a potential possibility of showing his ass and thighs, and Harrington was all about it. Listen, we'll move on to some mixed martial arts in just a second, but you're right. I want to say this. It wasn't an ad. The thing is, it's the first Monday of 2020. Everybody's wants, or you should. Listen, it ain't about being cheesy, and I know I was talking shit about people that get a little too preachy on Instagram on the last show, and I still stand by that. But you should, at the start of a new year, that's the great thing about a new year. You should want to improve yourself in some way, shape, or form. Very, very few people, in fact, if anyone, is perfect. You know what I mean? Everyone has shortfalls. Everyone has ways they can improve themselves. And for a lot of people, it's their health. And how do you get healthier? Well, you eat a better diet and you work out, you stretch. You don't have to go and lift weights. You don't have to be what they might call or perceive as to be a meathead. You know what I mean? But do something. Get active. Ride a bike. Start running. Go walking. Go hiking. You know what I mean? Do yoga. Do something. Be a better person, get healthier, live a longer, healthier life. And without further ado, I think we move on to some mixed martial arts before the other half of our fan base that want hard-hitting mixed martial arts action topic discussions hangs up. What do you say?
Mike, let's just take a quick moment and talk about a sponsor that I wish that I knew about a decade ago at least. Keeps. Keeps is honestly an amazing company that helps you keep the hair that you already have. Bisping, this isn't natural. And everyone's looking at his hair being like, oh, he's got the hair of a superhero. No. This guy's cheating. This guy's out there using performance enhancement drugs for his fucking scalp. And it's not fair. That's what I say.
Well, Lewis, you can try and, you know, put me down all you want, but some of us are just blessed and some of us are just cursed. And, you know, I'll let the viewers figure out which is which. But here's the deal. Listen, most people by the time they're 35, right, they're going to deal with some kind of baldness in their hair. A lot of people, you got the bald patch. They're trying to cover it up. They're trying to do whatever they want. They're trying to keep hold of that luscious head of hair that they once had. Well, with today's advancements in science, Keeps now offers proven treatments that can combat the symptoms of hair loss and help you keep the hair you have at, this is the good part, half the cost of your local pharmacy. Don't go broke trying to avoid going bald. Keeps offers generic versions of the only two FDA-approved hair loss products out there. Some of them you've probably tried before, but never for this price. Plus, Keeps now offers a prescription shampoo to keep your scalp healthy too. Now, listen, here's the thing. Prevention is better than cure. Lewis, I'm sorry for you. That ship has sailed. But anybody listening to this, if you go on a little, you know, it's a little light. You're getting a little, you know, the head of hair isn't as thick. You've got a little bald patch at the back. Well, this is for you because Keeps treatments really work. They're 90% effective at reducing and stopping further hair loss. And the sooner you start using Keeps, the more hair you're going to save.
Plus, Keeps has revolutionized the way that men are treated for hair loss. Thanks to Keeps, you no longer have to go to a doctor's office for hair loss prevention. You don't have to go to the pharmacy afterwards. You can visit a doctor online, get your hair loss medication delivered to your home. No more waiting rooms, no more lines, no more traffic, no more BS, okay? Get doctor attention and a discreet drug delivery, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home.
Which is amazing. So if you want to do it, go to keeps.com/believe to receive your first month of treatment. That's Keeps, KEEPS.com/believe. Keeps.com/believe. Keep your hair, keep your sanity, keep your good looks. Let's keep on with the show. See what I did there?
All right. Where were we? Well, it's a slow news week, guys, so good luck. There's not a lot going on right now. There's a few things.
No. What are you talking about? Listen, it has been a slow news week. And in fact, there hasn't been a fight since Kamaru Usman versus Colby Covington. So yeah, there is it's a little thin on the ground, shall we say. Yes, we had Rampage versus Fedor and some other fights going on. But the UFC, that's what it's all about, right? And there's a fight next week. There's a huge fight next week. Donald Cerrone taking on Conor McGregor. Conor is back. He hasn't fought since he last fought Khabib. And you know, in some ways, it's perfect because what better way to bring in the new year for the UFC, who incidentally said 2019 was their best year on record. They got no reason to lie about that. And they're going to start 2020 with Conor versus Cowboy. And the good news is, as I said, the last fight was about a month ago. I think it was December 14th. So it'll be a month and 4 days. There hasn't been a fight for that long. So the thirst is there. You know what I mean? Regardless of what fight card it was, people are, you know, they're hungry to watch some UFC action this next weekend, and no better way than starting with Conor.
Yeah, I mean, it is going to be a huge, huge fight. Yeah, I mean, look, there's been a little bit of movement, regarding the sort of hyping it up. But to be honest with you, when Conor's involved in a fight, they don't really have to do much. You know, have they done any countdown shows or special behind the scenes stuff yet? Because I haven't seen anything.
Well, the embeddings will start next week and the countdowns will probably air next week. I've got to assume that they've done that. But to be honest, Conor is such a, he's such a monster. He's such a meteoric star. They don't need to do too much. I saw some people bitching on Twitter. There was some advertisements for the fight during some big football game yesterday. And they were saying no mention of Donald Cerrone, which I understand and I feel for Cerrone, but the main driver in this fight, and this isn't disrespectful to Cerrone, and it's not me kissing McGregor's ass because I'm not one to do that, but it's just the facts of the matter. You know what I mean? The one that's driving the majority of the traffic in this fight is McGregor. Of course, Cerrone has legions of fans. Everybody loves Cerrone. He's a true badass in every sense of the word. But it's McGregor's return that's really grabbing the headlines. So there was a thing to Slim Shady. Guess who's back? Back again. It was pretty good. It was a good commercial and they had McGregor in there. It was a good piece. But I tell you what, listen, this is McGregor's comeback fight, right? He's saying it's the comeback season. He wants to have three fights this year. He's talking about taking on Kamaru Usman. He's getting a little bit ahead of himself there. He's got a fight. Cowboy Cerrone, and I believe it's a tough fight. I think it's a way tougher fight than what he's anticipating, than what his team's anticipating. I think they're looking at the fight that Cerrone got finished in his last two fights and thinking it's going to be a walk in the park. I spoke about this a couple of weeks ago, maybe on the last show. The fact it was up 170, that sways to Cowboy's favor.
Yeah, I mean, and there's some big question marks there, right? So who knows, right? It's just there's so many little variables that you can't really put into place. We've sort of discussed both sides of it, like the time off. Does it do Conor, good or bad? Maybe the time off is good. He's healing. He's healthy. He's coming back. He's refreshed. He could have some ring rust. He could be a little bit nervous because he hasn't won a fight in a few years. Cerrone, the one thing you got to say about Cerrone, Cerrone's just constantly active. Win or lose, it doesn't matter. Cerrone's always preparing for a fight, ready for a fight. Even though this is the biggest fight that Cerrone's ever been in, Cerrone also hasn't really been in anything but a marquee level fight in a long time. He's main evented so many times. He's been in the octagon at this point more times than anybody else. I don't see Cerrone. I think we're going to see the absolute best Cerrone we've ever seen by far. And I think it's a big question mark what Conor we see. I think the best Conor beats the best Cerrone probably with what we've seen from Conor. But who knows? I have just this weird feeling inside of me that Cerrone's going to go and do it. I really do.
Well, you know, listen, as I said a moment ago, that's certainly possible. And that's what makes it an intriguing fight. And I think that's why, you know, the UFC made this. You know, if it was deemed as a fight that wasn't competitive, it's not going to sell too well. You know, if people are going to part ways with the money, it's got to be a competitive fight. And Cerrone, I'll do a tea as well, please, babe. Thank you, darling. Cerrone on his best day can go out there and beat Conor. That's for sure. He can. He's got fantastic wrestling. I was watching his fight against Rick Story yesterday. Remember, he had that beautiful combination that finished him. But when that fight started, Cerrone hit Rick Story, who... Rick Story, by the way, very talented wrestler, a lot of credentials. Cerrone took him down and completed the takedown. Now, Cerrone said in this fight, he's not going to look for an easy way to victory. He said he's not going to go out there and wrestle Conor. But the reality is, that is definitely a path to victory for Cowboy Cerrone. If he takes Conor down, you know, catches him off the bat, takes him down, wears him out, tires him out, and then maybe looks for a submission or a knockout when he gets back to his feet, that's a route to victory. And the fact that Cowboy's going out there saying, listen, I'm not going to take that. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stand toe to toe. I don't know what to make of that, because that just could be some good old-fashioned bullshit. You know what I mean? That could just be a case of saying to Conor, don't work your takedown defense, baby, because I ain't going to shoot on you. And maybe that's true. You know what I mean? But it's all mind games. That's the thing. And Conor, you know, you mentioned ring rust and stuff like that before. That's always, there's no hard and fast rule when it comes to ring rust. That's on the individual and how their psyche is and how their confidence is. And we've seen Conor walk into the cage many, many times. He owns the octagon. I think I saw Joe Rogan say this yesterday, and he was correct. He owns the octagon. He owns the arena. You know, he's very arrogant, but rightly so, because he's backed up what he said. So that's why he walks in there so confident. But here's the thing, and this is a question, not a statement. How will his confidence truly be? Because now, McGregor has never had so much pressure on his shoulders, right? He hasn't won a fight since 2016. He got beat off Mayweather, made fucking a horrendous amount of money doing so. So well done to him. Then he gets beat off Khabib. Okay. Now, if he comes back, it's the comeback season. It's 2020. But if he gets beat in the comeback, fuck me, man. That affects everything.
If he gets beat by Donald Cerrone, I mean,
it's almost over.
It's not over.
But the perception of him being one of the best in the world or one of the best to ever do it could be gone. You know what I mean? No, of course it can be reclaimed. But in the short term, it's bad. So what I'm saying is there's a lot of pressure on him. So how is he going to perform? Because in the past, he didn't have that pressure. He was young. He was coming up. He came in the UFC. He was setting the world on fire. And he was beating everybody. Okay? And if he had a loss to one, well, fuck it. He's lost one. But
and
now it's all changed. It's all different.
As a young guy coming from, I don't actually know his background, but my understanding is he came from humble beginnings. You know, he... To have that hunger and that drive and that desire for greatness, obviously, that motivation right there, it drives you. Now he's been a bazillionaire forever. He's been on top forever. Where's the motivation? I know, Harrington, what did his coach, I know his coach came in, he did an interview this week and was just talking about, there was some interesting talking points there. So if you have any good quotes, you can bring them up. But that's sort of factor there.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you're absolutely right, Connor. You know, he's beyond wealthy. He's very, very rich now. He's smashed the game, you know, and it's actually very inspiring to a lot of fighters. You know, certainly a lot of up-and-coming fighters, you know what I mean? They look at somebody like Conor able to make that astounding amount of money. That's very inspiring to get into mixed martial arts and to become a professional fighter in the first place. But the thing that he is looking for in this fight is one of the only things that money can't buy. He wants the respect of the fight community. He feels that he's been disrespected, which is bullshit, but he wants the respect. He wants everybody to know that he's one of the best in the world. He can't buy that. You can go out there, you can buy your cars, you can buy your Rolls Royces, you can buy your watches, your suits, your houses, your boats, your yachts, whatever the fuck it is you want to buy, but you can't buy respect. And that's what he's trying to get back here. And that's why, as I say, I feel he's under a lot of pressure. As you said, there was some good sound bites this week, which I do know, but it's okay. La Harrington, it's your moment. What have you got for us? Not a baby boy, because I don't say that anymore, but Harrington, the floor is yours, my friend. I believe we're going to start with something John Kavanaugh said.
Yeah, John Kavanaugh had quite a couple of things to say this week. Not only
you fucking pussy, Harrington. If you were a man, you would have said, "Well,
stop
no, actually."
Going to Harrington, I know. I live and breathe this sport. I know everything. There's not a thing that Harrington knows that I don't. But you're right. I'm going to take this opportunity to sip my tea. Maybe I'm going to adjust a little bit. Maybe fix my hair. Harrington, go ahead.
I literally don't know what to do right now. Every time I open my mouth, you get mad.
It's very
God
simple.
Damn it, Eric.
Read the fucking quote. Lewis asked you to do it. I implored you to do it. And now, oh yeah, we are forcing you to read the quote, Harrington.
Well, he thinks Conor McGregor is in the best shape he's ever seen him in. He says that he has no doubt Conor McGregor could make weight at 155 within 10 days. Ooh. So a short notice fight in the in April, if either Khabib or Tony drops out, wouldn't be a problem to get his fighter peaking at that time. He believes that Conor McGregor will beat Cowboy Cerrone in the championship rounds. And he also says that Conor has a higher fight IQ than everyone else in his gym combined, which is why he's letting Conor dictate the pace at which he trains.
Okay.
That's the real interesting one. I'm glad you finished on that. We kind of like, you know, put an exclamation point on the Harrington Hammer Fisting with Harrington segment, the quick hittery of the Harrington, which wasn't that quick.
Hammer Fisting.
It wasn't that quick. We had to line him up three times. Yeah. But that one there at the end could be potentially dangerous. I'm not saying it is. As I just said, McGregor's under pressure. McGregor's training hard. He's doing everything he can to win this fight. But as we just said, money changes everything. Okay. And now his coaches are saying he knows more about MMA than everybody put together. So therefore, we're allowing him to run the show, which I don't doubt is true. I don't doubt that is true. That was always one of my issues. I'm not talking about Jason Perillo, but a lot of coaches over the years, when they were trying to coach me to do stuff and they've never had a fight in their life, it's like, well, hold on a minute. I know a little bit about fighting, okay? I've been doing this my entire life. But still, you need coaches because you need someone to push you. You need someone to say, hey, I know you want to work on your striking today. You want to work on that. But what you need to focus on in this, what you need to focus on is getting out of bed at 6 o'clock in the morning, going for a run. What you need to focus on is your diet. You need people looking in from the outside to say what you need.
And sorry, a lot of the time, what I was going to say to add on to what you're saying is those mistakes that you don't see, right? So you're just so close to it. You're like, you know, they're everything from being physically there, tired, whatever it is. You have somebody from the outside to go like, hey, just so you know, these are things that you could be doing better. These are things that you're doing great. Having that outside perspective would always help. And that's not just with, you know, MMA. That's with any sport or really any activity you're going to probably do. But I do think it's interesting because, to be honest with you, I don't know if there was, has it been called into question the amount that Conor's training? Because why would he even bring that up?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think it has been called into question because the only people that could do that would be people in the inner circle, you know what I mean? Which I don't think anyone's going to do that. So, but the fact that he said that, I mean, that's very interesting because I was going to say, I was going to piggyback what you were saying. Listen, John Kavanaugh knows what he's doing. He's been around the sport at the highest level for a long time. He's got a lot of great fighters. So even though he's letting Conor maybe dictate the camp a little bit, you know, he's still there on the outsides, cornering, adding in things, but you never know. You know, maybe he's a little red herring. Maybe he's saying that to, hey, listen, I ain't even running this camp. Maybe if he gets his ass kicked, I'll let you know in advance. He's the one with the big fucking swinging dick. I'm just here with the towel.
I'm just here for the ride, baby boy. He's head coach McGregor.
I'm just getting paid, okay? He's in my gym bringing all kinds of fucking media down here. We're good. Fucking, you run the show. I'm not saying that's what's happened. We're being silly, as usual, before you all start. Listen, McGregor knows what he's doing. He knows how to get ready for a fight, as does Cerrone. It's going to be interesting. You know, I'm very, very much looking forward to seeing it. Cerrone, on the flip side, there was talk about him going up to TriStar to train with Faraz Zahabi and George St. Pierre and those guys. But he decided not to. He's training at the BMF Ranch like he's always done. Listen, Cerrone, if he's on the money, Cerrone can win this fight. It's going to be a great fight. I think the fight, and even John Kavanaugh said this. John Kavanaugh said that he would say, typically, a knockout in the early rounds, in rounds one or two. But he said, but there's a little bit of weight involved, meaning the fight's at 170. Donald Cerrone is 6'1". He's a tall guy. I remember once I was walking through New York and I was walking through somewhere, I don't know where I was, and all of a sudden some big fucking dude with like a beanie on ran up and rah, got in my face. and it was Donald Cerrone. And I thought, who's it? I mean, granted, it was winter. He had a big, like, big puffy jacket on. But I'm like, who the fuck is this guy? And it was Donald Cerrone. Cerrone's a big dude. Harry, so just look up the reach of both of them. I'm not sure what the stats are there, but Cerrone's a big man. And at 170.
Whoa. I thought Michael Bisping knew everything. He's a fucking encyclopedia of knowledge. I figured just throw out the reach, the height, the dick length, all that. You got it on top of the dome, baby boy.
Listen, I got the dick length down, okay? Don't ask me how I know this, okay? No, listen, 6'1" for Cerrone, Connor, 5'9", okay? Average height of a woman. And then also, I'm kidding. It's not the average height of a woman. That would be a gargantuan woman. It's actually the average height for a man. 5'9", very average. I don't know what his reach is, though, but that is an important factor. Harrington, do you have the stats on the reach?
Nothing wrong with 5'9" tall men, just saying. 74-inch reach for Conor McGregor. He has freakishly long arms, 1 inch longer than Donald Cerrone.
Ooh, longer reach. Interesting.
Yeah, that is remarkably long. I mean, my inch, my reach, my length, my girth, my wingspan is 75.5. Right, and he's 5'9", and he's only an inch and a half less. So that is good. And what was Cerrone's? Sorry, pardon me.
Cerrone's 73.
Okay. So he's at a deficit. He's taller, but he's got the shorter. But here's what he will have. He'll have the longer legs. I believe the kicks for Cerrone are going to be a big part. Cerrone went out there, one of Cerrone's coaches, and said all they've got to worry about with McGregor is the left hand. And that's inaccurate. That's not correct. McGregor's got a lot more than that. He's got two very, very good hands. He's got excellent boxing, fantastic kicks. And you got to go back to the Max Holloway fight. You know, he's got good takedowns. Max Holloway, I think he tore his ACL or something. He was having problems. So he thought, you know what? I'm going to go back to my grappling. And he took him down. Look at the Nate Diaz fight. He hit a beautiful sweep. I forget which one it was, but he hit a beautiful sweep. Conor, listen, is a very, very well-rounded, highly skilled martial artist. Of course, the left hand is the money shot.
And also great defensive wrestling as well. Conor's not an easy person to take down. Guys that are really high-level wrestlers don't just take him down with ease. So the idea that Donald Cerrone is going to have this crazy, crazy wrestling advantage, he does have an advantage in the grappling, but I just don't know that Cerrone's takedown is so powerful that he's going to be able to just keep on taking Conor down over and over again. This is probably going to be a fight that's contested on the feet. There's just this big X factor. 2016, over 3 years since we've seen Conor McGregor win a mixed martial arts fight. I don't know what it's such a weird factor there because I truly don't know. And I want Cerrone to win just because I just love when the thing that's not supposed to happen sort of happens. And to be honest, I'm just never been the biggest Conor McGregor fan. I am a fan of sort of what Conor McGregor does for the sport. You know what I'm saying? He's this big, amazing celebrity, and he brings so many eyes to it, and it's a big spectacle. And there's no fucking way I miss a Conor McGregor fight, but I would be lying to you if I would say that usually when he fights, I'm rooting against him. I don't remember ever there being a time when Conor was fighting where I wanted Conor to win the fight.
Yeah, you know, listen, I'll just be honest. You know, me and Conor, we used to have a relationship. Now it's non-existent. You know, we had the same manager and we were friendly for a little while. And then we had a falling out, you know, and I'm not going to air my dirty laundry in public because it wouldn't be fair of me to do so. But all that aside, personal differences to one side, you can't deny that there isn't a fighter on the UFC roster that brings the energy, the excitement, that Conor McGregor brings, right? Simple as that, you know, and whether you love it or you hate it, you're just in the middle, you enjoy it. Simple as that, because all eyes are on him, whether to see him win, to see him lose, you know, and now the fact that he hasn't had a fight in 3 years, it makes it even more, hasn't won a fight in 3 years, it makes it even more compelling. And listen, let's be honest, saying he hasn't won a fight in 3 years is somewhat misleading. He's only had one MMA fight in those 3 years. Do you know what I'm saying? So, you know, that is a bit, it's a great soundbite. Mm-hmm. It's a very powerful sentence to say, oh, he hasn't won a fight since 2016. It's not like he was fighting three times a year since then. Okay. He had one fight against Khabib and lost.
That might be worse though. But I mean, being inactive, is that even any better than not winning? I mean, if he fought three close fights and lost all of them, I would at least have more data to see how good Conor had. The sport moves, baby. This is a sport that is constantly evolving. The fighter, the average fighter is better this year than the average fighter was last year. And I think that will just continue to happen until, you know, obviously a certain point. But
I don't think that applies here. I think you're right. The sport does evolve all the time. And I don't think the fighter of this year is better than the fighter of last year. I think the fighter of 10 years from now will be far, they will far surpass the fighters of today. I don't think it's year by year. 10 years, 5 years, something like that. It has to be. Like Michael Hearn said before, and I agree wholeheartedly, MMA fighters, and as he said, a lot of athletes in general, overtrain. We overtrain so much because it's only now, you know, you got things like the Performance Institute, you know, that now that this real amount of money is getting involved, that people are training like true high level athletes. And now, of course, we've done that for a while, but we still overtrain. The reason why we overtrain is because in MMA, there's so much to do. There's jiu-jitsu, wrestling, boxing, Thai boxing, sparring, your sprints, your weight training, your strength and conditioning, you know, and there's just so much to do. So people are overtraining. That will be eradicated as time goes on and training methods get better and better. But going back to Conor and the time away, it may help. It may be beneficial. You know, it may be beneficial. It may be detrimental. Only time will tell. We can sit here and assume all we want, but only time will tell. Simple as that.
What about... This is an interesting quote from Dana White because he believes that people are disrespecting Cowboy Cerrone by looking past him because everyone's talking about the next fights for Conor. Will he fight for the BMF title? Will he fight for the lightweight title? It's sort of like a foregone conclusion that Cowboy is going to lose this fight. Dana White says, the level of disrespect being shown to Cowboy through this whole thing, apparently people forget how good he is. Cowboy has lost two in a row, but Cowboy has lost two in a row and gone on unbelievable runs, so let's not count Cowboy out.
Couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more. And listen, I think Conor knows that as well. Conor knows that. Listen, Cerrone, listen, on paper, everybody knows on paper Conor should win, right? And the big one for me, the big reason is miles on the clock, right? Cerrone's had the most fights. He's had the most wins. He's got the most bonuses, okay? That's because he's been doing it for so long and fight so frequently. And unfortunately, this is the big thing and this is the big question when it comes to Cerrone. Heart, it's there. Skill, it's there. Fighting will, fighting spirit, all that stuff. You tick every single fucking one of the boxes for Donald Cerrone. It's all there. The man's a legend. He's a living legend that's still competing, okay? But you only have one body and one career. And Father Time, to use that fucking expression, catches up with everybody, okay? And he got finished in his last two fights, all right? One of them was a doctor stoppage. Other one was a knockout to Justin Gaethje, right? Is that... And this is the question. Is that the beginning of the writing on the wall? You know, maybe it wasn't. There's no shame in losing by doctor stoppage to Tony Ferguson, which, by the way, he won the first round of that fight. There's no shame in that. Far from it. And Justin Gaethje is an absolute animal as well. So there's no shame. But the question is it the beginning of the end because of all the miles on the clock? Same with me. You know, your body can't keep going forever. Listen, could I still take out the majority of the roster? We all know that's a foregone conclusion. The answer is yes, baby.
Get a 74.5-inch reach advantage. I mean, obviously.
75.5. Okay, don't diminish me. I don't have the reach of Conor McGregor. I have an extra inch. Simple as that. Let the record show that I have an extra inch where it matters. Okay? But no, the question is, have the miles on the clock become such a factor for Cerrone that he's going to lose this fight? Right? Now, bearing in mind, prime Cerrone, that's not a foregone conclusion that he would have won this fight. But it's definitely a factor in him losing the fight, if you know what I'm saying.
It's not so much, for me anyway, it's not so much about Cerrone, because that's probably all true. Yes, there's no debate about it. It's a matter of time. I think that there's a certain time where there's probably a threshold that a fighter crosses where he, you know, he's going up, 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 and then all of a sudden he starts to drop down a little bit. You know what I'm saying? And now he's maybe, you know, let me ask you a question. This is interesting, because I don't know if I've ever asked you that. Where do you feel like that peak was, where you feel like you started to come down and you were, where do you feel as if you were the peak Michael Bisping, the absolute best version of yourself, versus when you started to feel like, you know what, I'm coming down, this is the second, not half of my career, but I'm starting to, the descending part of my career where you have to start considering that eventually you're going to have to start hanging things up?
Well, that's a really difficult question to answer. Yeah, no, it's difficult simply because of what happened with my eye. You know, what happened with my eye, obviously, that's... an immediate catalyst to the demise of a fighter's ability. You know, I mean, I lost an eye, but I was still able to continue fighting. But whilst I lost depth perception and some field of vision, what I gained was a tremendous coach in Jason Perillo and the psychological aspects of fighting. Perillo did a great job on me there. So while I was diminishing physically, you know, my the psychological side of things was increasing. So it's hard to say.
I was going to say your sense of hearing and smell were probably on point. You know, all of your other senses were crushing it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I could definitely do what movie was it with Van Damme? You could put a blindfold on me right now and I will just fucking catch shit, okay? You could, if I was Frank Duke in Kickboxer and you threw the salt in my eyes, okay? You know the scene I'm talking about, right? Yeah, he crushes up the salt and he throws it in the eyes. For me, it wouldn't matter. It would not matter. I just go, I feel the senses around me. I'm like, he's there. Hold on, look at this. Picked up my tea with eyes shut. Hold on.
Wow. You sipped it with your eyes shut.
I'm putting it down with my eyes shut. Hold on. Look at this. Eyes shut. Can't see anything. Picked it back up.
Guys, he's podcasting with his eyes closed right now. I want everyone to realize that.
Yes, and it makes no difference, okay? I'm always podcasting with one eye shut.
Like Arya Stark, you know, where like she cut out the candles. That's you. That's your, the best way to fight is in the dark.
The faceless man.
Yeah.
The man with no name. That is me. I don't know where I'm going. Something like that, right?
The man with no knee.
No knee, no eyes, no sense, no smell. All right, listen, I can't wait for that to kick off next week. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'll be there in Vegas, excited to be a part of that. I'll be there. I'm working for ESPN. I'm back on the desk. I'm working again. My travel itinerary starts. I go from there, then I go to Raleigh, North Carolina. Then I'm in Albuquerque. I'm in Brazil. I'm going to start racking up the air miles again. I've got so many air miles, but what do I use them for? But still, what should we talk about now?
Real quick, let me take a moment before we switch gears and plug a couple of things because I have to dip out here in a few minutes. Harrington's going to come in and talk some shit with you as well for the last part of the show. But I will say, look, you guys love the show. You guys are fucking incredible, okay? The positive feedback, the absolute respect that you show to one Miss Rebecca Bisping, they love her. They love her. She honestly, Rebecca Bisping, if she started her own podcast right now, she would surpass us with ease because they fucking love her. And we thank you for all of the kind comments. Our YouTube channel is exploding constantly. Go subscribe on YouTube. All of the latest video episodes you can get there. You get a little notification right to your phone when it's premiering live. Go to our iTunes channel. Leave us a 5-star ranking, positive review as well. That always helps people discovering the show. And last but not least, obviously, the entire on-demand library is available at gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use the promo code BYN. Get a 14-day free trial and see the everything from the beginning. Start with episode one. See how bad it was. See the first year.
Don't start at episode one. Bypass the first 100 or so episodes to where we've both, you know. I do want to say this. Guys, all you believers out there, we love you all. We truly do. As I said on the last show, that's one of my favorite things about the video questions because I get to see who we're talking to. And honestly, now, it's one of the main reasons I do the show because I know people really enjoy it and it sounds like we're giving ourselves a big pat on the back, but we truly appreciate you. But we're still at 59,700 subscribers on the YouTube, okay? Go out there and tell your friends to goddamn subscribe, okay? If we don't hit, by my birthday, 80,000, February 28th, 2 months, we need 20,000 subscribers, please.
We're canceling the show.
We're canceling the show. No. It's not over. It won't be over. But if we don't get another 20,000 in 2 months, what will we do?
We're going to do another show with the CEO from Timmy Coin.
Hey, you leave Will Lowe out of this, okay? By the way, you get ready. You get fucking ready. They've pivoted. Timmy DNA. Let me just tell you this real fast, boy. And this is true. Boy. No, but this is true. Do you know all these companies, and this is actually really true, all these companies, 23andMe and stuff like that, you know, these DNA companies, you pay them, I don't know how much it is, maybe $100 or whatever, and they take your DNA and they sell that to massive pharmaceutical companies and they do research and those companies make ridiculous amounts of money, like hundreds of millions of dollars from your DNA. So with Timmy DNA, here's what you do. you do the DNA and then you opt into or out of studies. And if you opt in to the studies, you'll get a check every year, maybe a couple of grand, maybe a few hundred, maybe $5,000. But you, instead of the companies, 23andMe and I forget all the others, instead of them making the money, you will make the money. Timmy DNA, it's the future. Before everyone cancels, let's move on.
Well, we're so dumb because like we're signing away everything. I just got my new iPhone, right? And I had the iPhone 7 before, so it didn't have the facial recognition technology on it, right? Which is so dumb. Like, what I've done, and when you first get the phone, they go, okay, look at it this way, that way, that way, roll your head around, right? And then you give them your facial imprint, and now you can open your phone with your face or pay for something just by looking at your phone.
Yeah,
but
it's great. Don't talk shit on that. I love it because I forget all my passwords, and now all I'm going to do is look at my face, okay? And it's great. Okay?
Well, now but guess what? Now the government has your face, and now they are tracking your every fucking movement. I'm telling you right now, this is not some paranoid shit. This is a fact. The Chinese government, they're using facial recognition technology. People are walking around. They're having their facial imprints digitized. All of that shit is scary, and who knows what they're doing with that data. The thumbprint. Remember back in the day, we were so worried, like, Big Brother's watching. We can't have the government knowing our shit. We give them everything, our thumbprint, our facial technology, every search, everything we like. It's all this crazy algorithm. They're going to use it to fucking destroy us and to control us in the future. It's terrifying. I almost want to get a flip phone and not use any of this shit because it's so scary.
Well, you're absolutely right. Data is the new gold these days. In this modern era that we're living in, data is the key, I'm telling you. So don't sign up to these companies, 23andMe, and give your DNA away for free. In fact, no, you're paying for them to take your DNA. It's absolutely crazy. But I want to ask you a question, not MMA related, but you mentioned phones. It made me think of something. I'm in a bit of a dilemma right now, okay? I love my son, Callum Bisping. He's up there. He's at San Francisco College. He's on a scholarship. Part scholarship, not a full ride, still very expensive. he's on a part scholarship, right? We give him an allowance every month, okay? He's living up there. Yesterday or over the weekend, he takes his phone. He has an iPhone, a very good iPhone, mind you, one of the latest models. I think it's a 10. Takes it into the sauna. He's broken the phone, right? Takes it into the Apple store. The Apple store said, nah, that's done. It's gone. You need a new phone. Last night, Rebecca's like, so we got to buy Callum a new phone. I'm like, fuck no. No, we are not just spending $1,000 on a new phone for Callum because he took it into the sauna. I said, those aren't the lessons that we're going to teach him in life. He's 18 years old now. He's got to be held accountable. Now, of course, I don't want him to suffer because I did the same thing. I broke my iPhone and I went and paid for it. But it's my money. I earned it. I'll spend it on whatever I want, you know. But whilst I want him to be happy, I also don't want him to think that, oh, you just break something and mom and dad come and pay for it.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying? And how would you approach this one, Lewis?
How would I approach it? I mean, I would pay
because
off.
Because I want to reward him because he's a good kid. He's a really good kid. And I love him to bits. And he's never done anything wrong. He doesn't misbehave. He's not cheeky. He's not rude. He helps out around the house when he comes home. He's killing it in every aspect of life. But I don't want to just let him. Do you know what I mean? It's not a good message to send.
Of course. Ellie, I mean, no way. You're not getting her anything. She's. She loses that iPhone, it's over, okay? She's going to be on an Android. Callum, he's a fucking perfect kid, man. He's in college. He's doing great.
He is.
He's going to be representing England in the fucking national games. You know, and it was an accident. It wasn't like he was at a party and got into a fight or got drunk and dropped it off a bridge.
He was in the sauna cutting weight for a tournament. I mean, he's got his shit together on a Saturday.
Stupid move to bring the phone in the sauna, obviously, but we've all done it. We've all made that mistake.
I did it this morning. I do it all the time.
I don't think that.
It all the time. Still works fine. I do 10 minutes in and out, baby boy. Listen, here's the thing. Here was my solution. I have an old iPhone here. You know, you get a new one every year. I've got an old one. I said I'll just send him the old one.
Which
and
one?
He's got to put up with having, I don't know, it's like an iPhone 6 or 7, something like that. And Rebecca's like, you can't do that. I'm like, what do you mean can't do that?
You don't want him to like see that. Your old text messages, Michael Bisping.
Oh, no. I've taken that bad boy back to factory settings in a heartbeat. Okay. First thing I do, new phone, factory settings on the old one, erase everything immediately. So, yeah. But Rebecca's like, you can't do that. That's too mean.
Yeah, I mean, it's not really too mean. What type of privileged life do we live in that and a used iPhone 7 is too much for him? I mean, you know what? Here's what I would do. I'd probably get him the iPhone 7. Then the next big thing, birthday, whatever it is, he comes home from school, wins a tournament, gift him a nice brand new iPhone 11. But let him suffer a little bit. He should suffer a little bit and know that, hey, dude, if you fuck it up, you're not just going to have it replaced right away. And it's not even suffering. He's getting a really nice iPhone. It's not like it's like an old shitty phone that you cracked into shred. He's fine.
But that's exactly the lesson that I'm trying to teach him. That, listen, if you mess up in life, if you stumble, you fall, your dad's not always going to be there to pick up the pieces. And listen, he knows that. He's not a spoiled little entitled brat. But if we were to just say, oh, no problem, I'll buy you a brand new iPhone, that's the message that we're sending. So I'm going to send him the new phone. He can have that for a while. Then eventually we'll get him a new one when our contract expires and we get a new phone, because when we sign, you know, with a new provider. So there you go. There you go. All right, what should we do?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, we're at about an hour and 20 right now, plus ads.
That's not bad. That's not bad.
Yeah, we're all right. We can keep it going. Right. What else are we going to talk about? Nate Diaz is taking umbrage that people seem to have forgotten that he got them excited about the UFC. Good job, Harrington. That's a real meaty topic right there.
Hold on. It's not a meaty topic, but say that again.
It says, this is a topic that Harrington wrote down.
What number?
10.
Oh, all the way down the bottom. Nate Diaz is taking umbrage that people seem to have forgotten that he got them excited about the UFC again. Oh, my God. Help me. Don't make me be the one to say it.
Conor got them excited.
He hasn't fought since 2016. He comes back, he has a couple of fights, and well done, and he does bring excitement. But that isn't the only reason people are enjoying the UFC. I like Nate Diaz, but he's just gonna slow his roll a little bit.
Him and Nick are both.
Mind.
I like
they're crazy.
That. I also like that. That's fine. The only guys that I will accept it from is because they're so crazy. It's like it reminds me when Nick Diaz lost the GSP fight, and then as soon as it's over, he's like, "Yep, won that one." You're like, "What are you doing? No, you did not win that fight. Stop it." It's crazy, but I love it. Nate, here's one of the reality. Okay, the UFC is the common denominator here. The UFC invested a lot into building this brand.
By the way, this was a great discussion point, Harrington. Continue.
It is a pretty good discussion point. The UFC, they are the valuable, you know, in my opinion, I don't think that anybody else in the world could have built the sport the way the UFC did it. And I watched it because I was a fan of old school UFC, and you just saw the moves that they made, and it was very, very smart in the way that they built it. They said Ultimate Fighting and that brand was the most important factor. And they never put too much into any single fighter. They never really gave any single fighter too much power. And they said, you know what? No matter what happens, if our big star gets hit by a fucking bus, we still have the UFC. And that's really, really valuable. Then Conor McGregor came along and it became a little bit
of a dance. Whoa. No, but hold on. You had Brock Lesnar. You had Ronda Rousey. You had Chuck Liddell. You had Tito Ortiz. You know what I mean? No. I get it. None of them equate to Conor McGregor.
Not even close.
There was breakout stars before.
Of course. I'm just saying there was one fighter. Brock was close, right? Because Brock was like guaranteed a million pay-per-views. He was just this entity in itself. It was such a silly, weird, big thing. But Conor was the one where it was like, holy shit, if Conor started Conor Fighting Championship right now, he could probably go sell a million pay-per-views. I don't know anybody else who could do that. You know what I'm saying? If Conor just said, I'm going to do an MMA fight on pay-per-view, him fighting whoever it is, he could probably do that. And I don't know if there's anybody else that could do that. Conor should be saying what Nate Diaz is saying right here. Conor has the right to go, hey, motherfucker, until I came along, I started making stars. Fighting me started becoming a thing where if you fought me, you were a star. There are guys who fought guys that fought Conor that are now stars, dude. When you look at BMF, Masvidal.
Masvidal.
Dude, that is fucking residual Conor McGregor shine.
Whoa. Listen, put the crack pipe down. What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
It's true.
Jeez, no, it is not true. That is not residual remnants of Conor McGregor because he fought Nate Diaz. Masvidal went out there, smoked Darren Till in his backyard, one of the most beautiful knockouts ever. Then he follows up with the fastest knockout in the history of the fucking sport. Then he goes and takes out Nate Diaz in a great fight, right? That Conor can't accept because he didn't finish Nate Diaz. So he says, oh, that fight, the fans were robbed of rounds 4 and 5 in that one. No, they weren't. Okay. He beat the fuck out of him and he opened up a massive cut and the doctors had to step in. None of that is residuals of Conor McGregor. Masvidal did that by himself.
I'm just saying that when Masvidal fought Nate for that BMF title, this was this big marquee moment for Masvidal. This was the moment where every eye, this made Masvidal a star. I know, look, Masvidal's incredible. I think Masvidal beats the shit out. I think he beats the brakes off of Conor, okay? And then it'll all be over. But, you know, that, in my opinion, that trajectory sort of opened up a lot of doors for a lot of people. And I'm not a big Conor fan. I said earlier in today's show that I've never rooted for Conor in a fight.
I think you're a liar. I think you're a liar. I think you have his ball so far down your throat. It's unbelievable. The tricks that you're pulling off, still being able to talk with his ball so far down your throat. No, listen, I get it. You're right. But Nate Diaz, let's get back to what we were saying. He's out of his fucking mind. Yes. Listen, he's great. He's great. I love Nate Diaz. He's captivating. He's an exciting fighter. And he's one of the few real fighters left. You know what I mean? Like a bad motherfucker, like a Masvidal, like a Diaz, like a McGregor, like myself, like many others that will. Like the Luis J. Gomez, you know what I mean? That if shit hits the fan, if shit goes south, they're the type of guys that you want in your corner. And I'm talking about in a real scenario. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, but still, you know. Jesus Christ, Diaz. Slow your roll.
All right, look, let's wrap this one because we do have another show this week, and there's some more things to talk about. Obviously, we want to wish you guys a happy new year. First show of the year officially. I know we did have one that came out on New Year's Day, but this is the first one we recorded this year. Very excited. Looking forward to 2020. Lots of upgrades constantly going to be happening with the show. So we always appreciate the positive feedback and the negative feedback too. Sometimes the negative feedback helps the show. So please shoot us emails, bmympod@gmail.com. If you guys want to ask any questions, video questions and more. Yes, Mr. Bisping.
I was going to say, please send in your video questions. We love them. Send in the questions, send in topics, send in content. Also, I'm going to be in London for UFC March. Lewis, what was that? Do we want to go out there and do some live podcasts around the fight? Maybe in Manchester, maybe in London, maybe do 2, 3, 4 dates. Ooh, possibility. Let me know how you're fixed. But guys, this is the year. We're bringing the Believe You Me live podcast on the road. Okay, Lewis?
It's going to happen.
I'm announcing it. We haven't discussed it, but are you on board?
I'm 100% on board. I just looked at the dates, made sure that it did not conflict with our Skankfest Houston dates that we are 100% confirmed for. Believe you me, live in Houston, Texas. Holy shit, Skankfest.net. Get tickets
there. Which date?
March 27th through 29th.
Ooh, the week after. Maybe I'll just swing it. Who knows? I think so. Gotta check my bookings. They're coming in thick and fast, baby boy. But I think I can be there, and I'm looking forward to it. But that is the end of the show. Enjoy your week. We'll be back with the second show later in the week. Look after yourselves. Get in the gym. Listen to Mike O'Hearn. Crush your goals, guys. I'm a hypocrite right now. Conceive, believe, achieve, and look after yourself. Bye-bye.